Good afternoon and welcome to the Senate Judiciary Committee, which I am calling to order at 1:29 and a half. Today is Monday, April 29th. I've already told you the time. So today we have President Vice Chair Senator Reinbold, Senator Michicki is in Senate Finance, Senator Schauer is excused, and Senator Keel is here with me as well as myself, Chair Hughes. Please silence or turn off your cell phones. Thank you to those assisting us. Today we have one item on our agenda. We will be hearing Senate Bill 71, 2019 Revisers Bill, by request of the Legislative Council. The committee will be given an introduction and walk through a sectional analysis. I will then open and close public testimony, and we will be holding this bill until our next committee meeting. I'd like to ask members to keep your questions concise and focused. With that, I'd like to invite Ms. Jean Michelle from Legislative Legal to the table, along with Ms. Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill as well. Welcome. Women, please place your name on the record and tell us about the bill and take us through the sectional analysis, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill. As you mentioned, this was introduced by rules by request of Ledge Council. The legal department, Ledge Legal, goes through 10 to 12 titles every year, including the Constitution, and it's what we call cleanup. They conform to the legislative manual. They make corrections in grammar, and they eliminate obsolete statutes. So Jean is going to run through the sectional and explain to you what it does.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Jean Michelle, Reviser of Statutes. Hope you're all well rested. And thank you for hearing this bill, Senate Bill 71. We conduct a scheduled review of all of the statutes over the course of 5 or 6 years, rotating through all of the titles, including the Constitution. And this is the result of about a year and a half's worth of work for our editors and our drafting attorneys and our publisher and some staffers who've been very helpful. So this year we reviewed obviously Title VI, but several of the titles that are highlighted here. Some titles we don't make a lot of changes to for specific reasons, either because they've been interpreted in the past by the courts or because the relevant departments have interpreted the provisions, even if they're drafted inconsistent with our drafting manual. But rather than go section by section, unless you prefer that, I was going to group these into types of changes. But I will flip through the pages, and if you'd like to stop me and ask a question, maybe that would be the easiest way to get through the bill.
That works, yes.
Okay.
Oh, Senator Reinbold?
Sorry, I missed what you were saying about the Constitution at the very beginning.
We also review the Constitution for any technical errors, which we normally don't find or change, but we do review it for any. It would be maybe a capitalization that's or something very minor. Or if there's been a case interpreting a provision, we might make reference to that in the notes following the Constitution.
Through the chair, I was just unaware that they looked at the Constitution too.
Yeah. So sections 1 through 6 are very clearly just grammatical changes. We try to draft in the active voice. We try not to use shortened terms like exam for examination. Federally chartered shouldn't have had a hyphen in it, for example, in 60101OE.
Michelle, before, because I'm looking at the memo where you're starting to go through the
sure.
groupings. And I just have a question because you summarized that there are certain sections that delete, repeal, or update. You have
right.
certain sections that correct errors or oversights. And then you have sections that improve the form or substance of the law.
Right.
The form, but when you say substance, I think that being more content. Or am I understanding that word substance differently than how you're using it?
No, I think there are two meanings here. We definitely don't intend to change any substantive legal effect, but occasionally we'll move words around or delete, for example, definitions. You'll see that in the repealers that are no longer used in the statute, so we consider that the substance, even if it has no legal effect.
Okay, thank you. I just because this is, I believe, on basis, I thought that would be good clarification that you're not, this obviously is not about substantive changes. Okay, continue, please.
No, and to the extent that anybody comments that it has a substantive legal effect, we would remove that provision. I'm not aware of any in this bill. That's why I review it carefully. And you're correct, in the sectional itself, we've got generally three categories of changes that we make. Those are all statutory bases for making changes to the current statutes under AS 0105036. So the first 1 through 6 sections are clearly form, not substance. Section 7 is a cross-reference to a federal law that's been updated, but it doesn't change the legal effect. Section 8 removes a provision of the Code of Federal Regulations. We have a bias against referring to federal regulations since they change so frequently. But the statute itself is still intact, and so it doesn't change the meaning. Section 8 has a comma, we also took out but not limited to. That's Section 9. Section 10 and several other sections you'll see throughout remove an obsolete reference to telegraphs. They are no longer available in the state or in the country. And so we took the opportunity with this bill to remove all references to telegraphs and telegrams, including a crime involving telegraphs. And you'll see at the end of the sectional, a lot of the repealers have to do with telegraph and telegram, and we put the body of those repealed sections in your in the sectional so that you could actually review the law and verify that we're not repealing anything of any substance. So I don't know how much you want me to get into, but many of these sections involve comma placement. Our editor, the Lexis Publishing, tries to correct our commas in our statutes, but if we determine, and that's the drafting attorneys and myself, along with our editors, determine that it has a substantive effect, we don't insert a comma or remove a comma. So the commas you see in here are simply for clarification and for grammar purposes, not intended to change any provision or its effect.
So no Oxford comma debates, such as I really like my parents, comma, Humpty Dumpty and Lady Gaga?
Yeah.
Where that comma makes a huge difference, that serial comma.
Eat, shoots, and leaves. There are a few Oxford commas added into this bill to clarify that it's a serial list rather than grouping the last two clauses as you just described.
Yeah.
We've also changed the word Alaska to state. That's in the drafting manual. We took out some arcane phrasing like it being understood and changed it to an active voice. I'm on section 14. In the sections 15 through 18, those all reference the bar, the Alaska State Bar. Those were fairly old statutes that Just had some improper references and use of pronouns. For example, the Council of Legal Education of the American Bar is no longer called that, so we've updated that reference. And then Section 19, these are all grammatical changes. 19, we took provided that and put if in, which is consistent with our drafting manual. Section 20 is just a reference to Alaska. We turned into the state consistent with the drafting manual. Sections 21, deal with the removal of the word telegraph. 23, we already have the department defined for purposes of that chapter 848 involving architects and landscapers, landscape architects. So we removed the whole phrasing of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development and made that the department. Whether or not is redundant, so we took out the or not. And that affects sections 23, 24, and 25, and 26. And then you see the definition of department down into 27. Section 28 is an addition of the definition of opioid. That, in our view, should have been added when the restrictions on opioid prescriptions were added to that chapter 872, as we did for all the other healthcare professionals. When we added that language restricting opioid prescriptions, we added a definition, and that definition is identical to the one that you see in section 28 here.
I have a question on page 11. That's where we are right now in the
right.
Bill. The but not limited is being taken out. Is it standard now that when we use the word including, if it only were to include the following, you'd have to use the word only or something?
Is that
standard? And so there's not going to be any confusion that what comes below it is not limited, even if we take those words out?
That's right. The Title I describes the word including as meaning but not limited to.
Okay.
So every time we put that phrase into the statutes, it's redundant and unnecessary. If we were going to limit it to one item or a list of items, we wouldn't use the word including.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Section 29 is a little bit unusual, but the word dispenses is not defined, but outpatient dispensing is. So we converted dispenses to outpatient dispensing, which has a definition in for the pharmacies.
I have a question about that because mm-hmm. hospitals have do inpatient work and outpatient. So they could dispense something outpatient. Somebody's going to leave the hospital with it. A nursing home, isn't that considered inpatient? The person's not leaving. The person's staying there. So I'm just kind of curious. It maybe doesn't have anything to do with this revisor bill, but we're talking about nursing homes providing outpatient treatment and dispensing drugs like somebody's leaving. And
mm-hmm.
I don't think nursing homes typically do that. We'll be seeing someone who then leaves the facility with the drugs that have been dispensed. So I'm just curious why that's in that list.
That's a good question. We wouldn't remove it because it would have a substantive effect. There could certainly be an opportunity for a nursing home to prescribe for outpatient treatment if someone were leaving or going to a different facility, for example. Mm-hmm. So that, as you say, that's not really part of this change.
Yeah, right. Senator Keel.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess reverse angle, same question. So dispenses would cover both inpatient and outpatient. if we now limit the requirement to have a licensed pharmacist in charge to outpatient dispensing, are there provisions elsewhere that require a licensed pharmacist in charge when you dispense to a patient who's in the facility?
Yes, through the chair, Senator Keel, this is strictly, this provision involves outpatient treatment, and there are other provisions that address inpatient pharmacies.
Thank you.
So as you mentioned, Senator Hughes, the Section 30 is just a but not limited to removal. Section 31 we changed shall not to may not. We don't use may not in the statutes. We don't use shall not in the statutes. May not means shall not.
You know, I'm struggling with that because, and we've had, I can't remember, it was in this committee on a certain bill mm-hmm. where that came up. Because you're saying the amendment or repeal may not operate to deprive a person of the following. So it implies that it could deprive a person. So what is wrong with the word shall? It makes it so clear. I think it makes it questionable when we change it to may. That seems somewhat substantive to me.
So... Senator Hughes, the may not has been interpreted as a straight prohibition, and we have editor's manuals that tell us so. We have drafting treatises that tell us that shall not is an arcane way of saying may not. So even though may is a permissive term, when you put not after it, it's a strict prohibition. And we strive for consistency, so if we had any shall nots left in the statute, a court may say, well, does this mean something other than may not, which is you're not allowed to, is the meaning of that. And shall not shouldn't mean any different. So what we're trying to do is make all of the statutes that have strict prohibitions read may not, which... I'm guessing this is probably the only one left in all of the 44 titles since we've been cleaning that up over the years. It's also consistent with our drafting manual.
Well, I understand where it's consistent, but I'm wondering whether the boards and the people interpreting this would always see it as hard, fast as shall. It just may does seem to open a window, and we've had a lot of dates, policy changes based on may versus shall once in the positive. And
absolutely.
Do we use shall in the positive in statute?
Yes, we do. And that's a command. This is, it doesn't allow, it's a disallowance of something that somebody could do physically. And we're saying, you may not do it under the law.
So if shall in the positive isn't considered archaic, why is shall not considered archaic and we're changing it? If we want to be consistent, why do we not use shall in the positive and shall not in the negative? That seems like something there. There's absolutely no confusion, no wiggle room.
Senator Hughes, there is no wiggle room with the phrase may not. And I understand that the pause because may is a permissive term, but when you put not after the permissive, it's a prohibition. And it's described that way in our drafting manual. So courts wouldn't interpret it any other way. May not would be interpreted as a prohibition.
Is that... may not, shall not, is that something that we have established here in Alaska, or is that universal? Is that everywhere? I'm more comfortable shall not, and I don't know what other members think, but I just think it's awfully odd that we're using shall in the positive, and we can't use it in the negative to make it clear. And you think it's an absolute prohibition, but someone reading this that is not familiar with these drafting standards would think that there is. When I say they may not operate to deprive a person, I'm thinking, well, maybe they could operate to deprive a person. So,
Senator Hughes, the only way they could operate is if we had an unless after the may not. So there's an interesting debate, but we're required as drafting attorneys to follow our drafting conventions. We use Dickerson's, which is nationally applied in legislative drafting. So there may be a handful of states still using shall not, but it's not common.
Okay. Senator Reinbold?
Okay, so you just perked up my ears again. So who chose Dickerson's, and what do you mean by conventions? You're required to use conventions.
So the Manual of through the chair, excuse me, Senator Reinbold, the Manual of Legislative Drafting was adopted by Legislative Council, and the legislature, as well as your drafting attorneys, are required to follow those standards, and that's what I mean by convention. And those are heavily debated, or were at one point in time. We make modifications to the manual every year or two that's approved through Legislative Council. And you, as a legislator, are required to follow that manual as well by statute. So we have, there's an opportunity to amend the manual. We do use shall not in our Constitution still, but we have no cause to go in and change that because it was written as a document that has particular history and context. In this case, this is an old reference left in for real estate appraisers that isn't consistent with the rest of that title or any title.
Senator Reinbold?
Well, this is the may and shall, because it's such a big deal without the not there. And so I totally understand where she's coming from completely, but then I can also be convinced of what you're saying. So mm-hmm. I do think it's a very, very interesting debate, and I'm actually glad you brought it up.
And you mentioned that the drafter's manual can be amended. Who would make that decision whether it be amended?
Senator Hughes, we have a review process every year, and when we take the changes, it's primarily the changes are proposed. For example, this year we got some changes recommended by the House and House Clerk and Senate Secretary that were added to the end of the manual regarding engrossment of bills. Occasionally our editor internally suggests changes, and then the reviser or the assistant reviser reviews every page of the manual every year to look for errors or inconsistencies.
So it's
like we do with the statute.
So it's within legislative affairs, basically,
yes,
that you all are deciding whether something should be amended or not. Okay.
It is, but Legislative Council makes the final determination.
Okay. All right. Is there any other comments regarding that? That might be a conversation we could have with members of the Legislative Council. I personally, obviously, prefer the word shall, so it's just crystal clear. So continue, please.
Okay, so Section 32 is another reference to telegraph. 33 is changing Alaska to state. 34 is a definite, we're adding the definition of opioid to the Veterinary Board chapter. Again, we saw that as an oversight when the bill passed in 2017. That restricted opioid prescriptions. 35, 36, 37, 38, all remove references to telegraph. Section 39, we took out the as defined in language because they're, and we actually turned it into a definition. In subsection B rather than using that. Whenever we use a phrase more than once, we try to move it out of the body of the text. And that's all we did here for 13, 12, 5, 50. Sections 41 and 42 are related. We move the definitions in this section, 1312.603, into the existing definitions in, thank you, subsection D. So we're just moving them to the end of the, that section, which is also a drafting convention.
I'm sorry, you move, oh, sub, okay, D on the next page on the bottom of 16. Okay.
Right. 43 is another, not limited to, with an added comma. 44 is removing, and 45 are removing references to Telegram. We changed the word assure to ensure.
Before you move on from that one, a lot of these is like, okay, we don't use telegrams, telegraph. That makes sense to pull it out. But that one, because it's about the ballot count, it made me wonder. I'm not seeing that the results can be forwarded right now. It leaves telephone and radio, but there's nothing about any kind of other electronic means where they can be transmitted. And just curious that it never was. So results couldn't be forwarded by email. They would have to either be call them up or radio in verbally the results.
Yeah, that's true. We do have a or had a bill pending to change that. I don't really remember what the status of that bill is, but that was this subject of a substantive bill.
So we're talking about in, you know, in precincts around the state, if they had a bad phone connection and they didn't have a way to radio, they wouldn't be able to get the results transmitted. Senator Reinbold?
I actually think that's kind of an important finding, yeah, because it doesn't even say you can be posted on a website.
So through the chair, Senator Reinbold and Senator Hughes, that's certainly a legitimate or good question. It's not appropriate for a revised
right.
bill.
It would be a policy call and require
right.
a bill. I just thought it was interesting that had not been addressed, because sometimes we do have bad phone connections. And I'm not sure that there's always CB radio capability between locations of voting back to Division of Elections. So I just find it interesting.
Yeah. So sections 45 and 46 also remove references to the telegram and telegraph.
46 is also interesting because it actually includes a time of day, 5 p.m. By removing that, now we are extending it from 5 p.m. to midnight. Would this be considered substantive?
No, we're only talking about receipt of a telegram by 5 p.m. in that section.
Well, it talks about mailing.
Yeah. Apparently, you could mail a telegram. I don't know. If you read the whole sentence in its entirety, it's only talking about delivery of a telegram.
So if that whole section is about a telegram, why are we leaving what we're leaving?
I'm sorry, the removed portion of that section, the repealed, the bracketed and uppercase language.
Okay, thank you.
47 is also telegram removal. The 48, but not limited to, and we changed the primary election to a primary election because we're not speaking of a specific primary election in that context. 49 and 50, 51, 52 all again deal with the obsolete references to telegrams. 53 is a but not limited to and changing the article of the to a because we're not speaking of a specific official. 54, we remove a comma, which was an errant comma, and we remove but not limited to. 55 through, 50, the next 10 sections or so have to do with dates that no longer have any future relevance. So we're removing them as obsolete. So in section 55, 1737060, the provision used to say not later than August 31st, 1999. The department shall adopt regulations. Those regulations were adopted before 1999, so it's no longer relevant or obsolete. We also make the change 180 days after submission, which is recommended by the editors. We don't say 180 days of anything anymore. We say before or after. So sections 56, 57, 58, 59, 60, 61, 62, 63, 64, 65, 66, and 67 relate to the marijuana initiative, and that was passed by the voters, which didn't always use comply with our drafting rules. The most significant changes, I think, are in the repealers to 1738.
And before you go on to that, so the marijuana sections, when we're changing shall not be an offense to is not an offense, that doesn't substantively change anything. So a bunch of those are that. But when you get to page 25, we're back to the may and shall situation again in section 63. Regulations under this subsection may not prohibit the operation of marijuana establishment. Before it said shall not prohibit the operation of marijuana establishments, and so it's back to my earlier concern that someone could interpret it differently. I would assume that the marijuana board understands that may not is shall not, but again, I prefer the word shall for the same reason. And that happens again down on line 21. Application fees may not exceed $5,000. When I read that, means application fees, well, they could exceed $5,000. So it's the common use that we use in our everyday vernacular. When you use the word, even in the negative, it can mean it. Well, you may not do this, but may do it. So again, the same concern of the difference between may and shall. Senator Reinbold.
I have a question on page 22, line 5. I know you guys aren't changing that, but I just have a question because I know that there's some pretty tight regulations in regards to marijuana, and it looks like this is saying that there's not going to be any criminal, you know, for possessing or displaying or purchasing or transporting accessories. But displaying, I mean, there's tight things about what they can and cannot do. So that one really causes me pause. Seems like you're allowing it here.
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, again, it's not something we could modify in this bill. But as you say, the regulations have interpreted this provision fairly strictly. And this is what the voters passed in the initiative.
Is that right, Paul?
So basically, because there's concerns about a marijuana institution near a bus stop right now, and they don't want, you know, being advertised like candy, you know, right outside the bus stop for little elementary kid bus stopping, and that's why one of the reasons they allegedly, you know, tightened up the regulations for not, like, advertising, you know, edibles and cookies and stuff with marijuana in it. But it sure seems like you're undoing that here. This isn't what it, you know, it's amended to read the personal use of marijuana. So it's kind of like, are you guys rewriting the whole section here? 1738020, personal use of marijuana.
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, no, we're not changing that at all. We're just changing the word Alaska to state and fixing the reference to basis, which was use the plural of base.
Through the chair.
Senator Reinbold.
So, but you can see some ambiguity there. I mean, can you see that? I mean, I see it. I don't know if you see it, but.
There,
On line five, possessing, using, displaying, purchasing cannot be an offense. But the regulations seem to contradict that. So that's why I'm just at pause there. But anyway, we can move on.
Okay.
And before you go on beyond, I'll point out on page 26, under line 63, we have another shall not to may not, which again, a retail marijuana store shall not be required to acquire and record personal information about consumers. That is very clear. And we're changing to a retail marijuana store may not be required to acquire and record personal information about consumers. And again, just the common day of rereading means that they actually could possibly be required to acquire and record personal information. So just pointing that out, even though I know what it says in the drafter manual.
Madam Chair, you might bring that up to Senator Stevens.
Yes, thank you.
And just as a follow-up, without the not, it would be permissive, obviously, but the not changes the meaning significantly.
Right, I know. We're kind of, I'm taking this around the same old mountain over and over, just to make a point, and I totally understand what the drafter's manual is saying and what you all have been instructed in, and how you read it. Okay, continue, please.
Okay, I'll pick up on page 26. Section 64, we're removing a reference to subsection G in that section, which is repealed by this bill, and we're repealing it because it has a February 2015 date in it that's come and gone, and it doesn't have any future relevance. Again, it had to do with the state board adopting regulations for the regulation of marijuana, which they've done.
Madam Chair.
Senator Keel.
Just for my clarity and comfort on that one, that was specific, if memory serves, to if the state didn't get regs in place in time, a muni could put its own full-fledged approval procedures in place. Do I have the right one?
Through the chair, that's correct.
I just want to make sure we're comfortable that this isn't taking away any functional abilities for municipalities to regulate marijuana in their own boundaries.
Through the chair, that's correct.
Thank you.
This was just the initial state oversight. If the state had not adopted regulations to allow the licensing of establishments, then the munis would have done it regionally.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So section 65 is still in AS 1738. We're just trying to make that clear. We don't use the phrase provided the. Normally we'd say provided that, and then we had to say we had to give a lead in. This is fairly common with initiatives where there's some grammatical and sometimes lack of clarity issues. So we also reference we take out the cross-reference to G, which is being repealed in that section and in section 66. Section 67 is just an error it's a plural of consumption, which doesn't fit there. 68. Now we're in the insurance title, Title 21. We move the comma inside the quotations, which is where it should be. And we took out any such. We added Oxford comma, line 30 on page 27 for for the series of three items. We changed that to the, and was misplaced on line 17. And then we removed but not limited to. We try to take out, we use the article the, not those, and it references the same contracts. We removed a comma, page 28, line 31, which was an errant comma. Any is also disfavored in the statutes and other drafting conventions, so we changed any to an. We removed the word upon a lot and changed it to on just for editorial reasons. Section 69, that was actually an error in the federal reference to the HIPAA Act for non-governmental plans, so we corrected that. But not limited to is in 70 and 71 and 72. Section 73 is a telegram reference. 74, we added the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico, which is the formal title. 75 is just combining words that are compound words and instead of separating them. And we took out for purposes of and changed in this paragraph, which is also a drafting convention. We made some grammatical changes at the bottom of that page. 33, there are no change, or no, we changed on to upon. I mean upon to on. On. Section 76 is a telegraphic message reference that we removed. 77, again, a compound word corrected. We inserted an and on page 37. Section 78 was requested by the Department of Law. It's a change to the statute dealing with foreign child custody orders. There was a missing comma, and you can see that on page 39, line 26. And that was a significant comma. And without that comma, it would have allowed modification of a foreign child support order without the consent of the parents. And that's not how that provision's ever been interpreted. I verified that, and so we inserted it into this bill. We think that was probably a drafting error from years ago. Section 79, we just changed fair appraised value to appraised fair market value, consistent with the rest of that statute. We took out a comma, section 80, that was errant. We added a comma in section 81, which is the drafting convention. Also 82, same issue. Section 83, we made the term library, consistent with our drafting rules about using singular terms whenever possible. 84 is but not limited to, 85. Most of these are all grammatical. 85, 86, 87, 88, 8. On page 42, we added the special fittings because we thought that was an ambiguity that should have been in the original phrasing. 89, wasn't clear who rejected the tariff or the provisions, so we added the commission, which is consistent with the sentence above it. Section 90 is removal of telegraph or cable. And no, I'm sorry, we just removed telegraph, and we kept cable lines. Section 91, we clarified because we, in a general definition provision for AS 4220, there was a special meaning given to eavesdropping device in a separate section in that same chapter. And we wanted to make it clear that the general definitions didn't override the specific. Section or page 43 again is a telegraph reference, and we took out as such and made it clear what noun we were referring to. Section 92 is a serial comma, missing serial comma, that we added. Section 93, we had a reference to the Rural Electrification Act without the statute site, the federal statute site. It wasn't consistent with our drafting convention, so we corrected that. Section 94, we took out the full phrase Regulatory Commission of Alaska and turned it into commission and defined it for that same chapter. That normally we would have left a single reference like that alone, except that AS 4245 uses the term commission a lot without a definition, so we added a definition. Similar issue with sections 96 and 97, Alaska Energy Authority, we turned into authority, and there is already a definition for that chapter. Section 98, that was a reference to a repealed provision. AS 4320043 was repealed in 2010, and apparently we didn't catch it when we repealed it. So we turned it into former because it may have some future relevance for tax credits that may be, or deductions that may be applied retrospectively. Someday we'll pull that out as an obsolete reference, but we're not sure it's obsolete yet. So,
and that's the same thing for 4355025 as well?
Let's see.
On line 5, page 47. You said the 043 was repealed in 2010, so I'm assuming the 4355025 was also repealed.
No, I'm sorry. Excuse me, Senator Hughes. No, former only refers to 4320043.
Okay.
Let's see. Section 99, and 100, we removed telegraph, telefax. And change the word telefax to facsimile. Section 101 is an amendment to uncodified law. It's a what you would refer to as a sunset provision in 2025. This has to do with the curriculum, the pilot project for curriculum review. And when we inserted that sunset into the bill at the time, we missed the three of the five definitions that aren't used anywhere other than in the repealed provisions in 2025. So we added those to the 2025 sunset. That they were definitions for the terms rural, urban, and school districts, ADM, and they're not used anywhere else in that section after the sunset. Section 102 is a series of repealers. Some of those are definitions that we inserted in the bill in a different place. Some of those are obsolete provisions or definitions that aren't used in the statute any longer.
Go ahead.
Sorry.
Oh, you finish on 102 because I'm back up at 100.
I just wanted to clarify that if the definition isn't used in for that per, I mean, if the term is no longer used for that purpose, we remove it. It doesn't mean that the term isn't defined elsewhere in the statute for another purpose. That's all I have.
Well, and back up in section 100, I get it that telegraph is obsolete, but I didn't know faxes were. I mean, I don't use them, but there's still fax machines, and some people still use them. So are we removing that? So you're leaving facsimile, but it's the word telefax is obsolete. Doesn't mean the same thing as a fax?
It does, I suppose, but what we use in the statutes is facsimile to mean fax.
Okay, thank you.
And I agree, they're not obsolete. I still use fax machines. But they will be someday, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think you're right. Senator Reinbold?
This is just a general. Do you really read all the statutes? Like, tell me how, because I've seen several of these reviser bills. So just tell me, like, where you start. Does someone really sit and read all the statute books? Who's that? Is that you?
Senator Reinbold, through the chair, I do read a lot. I read every bill that goes out of our office and every opinion. And we often, all of us, read statutes line by line. But in this case, it took about five different drafting attorneys. And we assign, the reviser assigns a title to a drafting attorney for the interim. They do this during the interim, and they read the statutes line by line, yes. And sometimes we pull the old bills to see if there was an error or if it was a meaning other than its common meaning.
Through the chair, one more.
Senator Reinbold?
So how long does that take you guys? I mean, I know it depends on who was assigned what, but, I mean, is this like months?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, yes. In this case, it was over two separate interims. We conducted the review. In addition to that, we get a huge pile of suggested changes from Lexis Publishing. And so we have to go through and decide whether or not to include those in a reviser bill or whether we can just change it as a manifest error. Sometimes they're errors, just straight errors, and I'll send a error memo to the publisher and whoever else is out there reading our statutes to fix those if I can fix them. But I can't fix these without your approval. But, yeah, it takes a couple of interims.
I'm sorry.
Senator Reinbold.
Okay. I wasn't going to go here, but I'm going to. Because somebody said, like, out a window, it used to be there's nothing that can go out a car window except for water and feathers, I think it was, you know, because they used to carry chickens, you know, around, you know, transporting them across the state. And then they said that's, you know, kind of, you know, obsolete now because people don't really do that anymore. So I bet you guys have a lot of things you're like, whoa, we don't need that anymore. It's got to be eye-opening.
Through the chair, it is interesting, but we're very conservative when we recommend repealing something. Because, for example, the longevity bonus program is still in the statutes. We could bring that to you as part of the reviser bill, but there are some topics or issues that we feel is better presented by a legislator.
As you're going through to pull out things that are archaic in our modern world, do you ever take notes of things maybe that are missing that we haven't updated, and even though it's too substantive for the reviser's bill, bring that to the legislative council? For instance, when we looked at the ballot count, you know, it takes out telegraph, but there's, you know, would you make it say, hey, this, you might want to have an electronic means in there. Do you ever bring that recommendation for things where we have not modernized, or do you just leave that up to us to catch?
Yeah, we pretty much leave it up to the legislators. If we're discussing that topic with a legislator, if they are interested in, for example, ballot returns, we would make that recommendation. But we don't usually come up with it on our own. There is, I mean, we don't ask for substantive bills. The only exception to that is what we call a special revisor's bill, which kind of is a little bit closer to substantive law changes, but we feel that the that there's an ambiguity or that there's an issue throughout the statutes that somebody should take on. And so we'll often go to the rules chair or some other or judiciary and ask for some help cleaning something up, but that's pretty rare.
Okay, thank you. And I know that you've gone through this with a fine-tooth comb as the rules chair's office and Reneva has. And Reneva, you did, when you were going through, you ended up finding something that you ended up pulling out. Can you tell us about what that was?
You're
going to bring the mic?
Sorry, Reneva Moss, staff to Senator Coghill. If I remember correctly, it had to do with natural gas plants. Is that right?
Public utilities.
Public utilities. It changed the word sort of regulatory to certified, which had some repercussions with federal law. So we took that out before it was introduced.
Okay. And that brings me, when I look at the text of repeal provision starting on page 4 of your memo, starting on the bottom of page 5, 6, and 7, it's all about telegraph. So no question there, those go out. But of the other ones, as the Judiciary Committee, and is it correct that this is the only committee of referral?
That's
for this bill?
Yes.
It is. So one of the things with the other things that are repealed, just to make sure nothing is substantive, for instance, we're pulling out, it's the third one down, regarding a private agency that defines it being under the direction of a licensed psychologist or psychiatrist. So by repealing something like that, is it taken care of elsewhere in statute so we're not actually changing that provision?
Yes, through the chair, I mean, Senator Hughes, in that particular instance, that term isn't used in that chapter, so we repealed it.
Okay.
In the same with the two definitions preceding that, they're not being used, so we're repealing it. The definition of animal in 1161-145C is already defined for all of Title 11 at the end of that title in 1181-900, so we're pulling it out of, it's the same definition. And we try not to include redundancies. We'd have too many pages to read.
So in Title 11, animal means a vertebrate that's not a human or a fish. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay, so by pulling this out, now we're not changing animal to include humans and fish.
Correct.
Okay. Senator Reinbold?
This is two simple questions, but it says it was introduced on March 1st, but it did say it had a state affairs referral. Was that removed?
Through the chair, the state affairs committee waived the referral.
Okay, I just didn't recall that. And second question, is there any fiscal notes on this?
Through the chair, Senator Reinbold, I requested a fiscal note. Belatedly, it will be a zero fiscal note.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions of committee members? Okay, I'm going to open public testimony. Thank you very much, ladies. Opening public testimony, and I am not seeing anyone online. Is there anyone in the room who'd like to testify on SB 71? Seeing none, I'll close public testimony, and I'm going to take an at ease because it almost made me laugh.